brother Eric's text will be Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every one according to his work.
Amen.
Thank you, Zoe. I don't want to trip on that and get further injured. I first want to offer up my thanksgiving to the Lord for bringing all you brethren back here. This time has been particularly needful for me and for our family. We certainly want to thank the Lord for his work, but also, brethren, that you've showed a great love for us, and we love you all too. So we just want to express our sincere thanksgiving that you would travel back here. There's a lot of places you could go, but you've shown your great care for us by coming to us and your faithfulness. And then the good word that you bring us, your countenance when you're with us is so encouraging. And just the conversations that we have in the mealtimes and the fellowships afterward, and just the care that you have for us, for our spirit, and for our well-being, and so we want to say thank you. The Lord is coming quickly. He's coming quickly. I'm expecting, like, there could be an interruption today, brethren. The Lord is coming quickly. Yeah. Throughout the Revelation, Jesus tells the church that he is coming back. He said, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. But that which ye have heard already, hold fast till I come. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. He which testify of these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Is there any doubt that the Lord is coming back? He's coming, brethren. Amen. We rejoice. Amen. This is a joyful statements that the Lord has made. This is the promise, brethren, that he is coming again. And these things are weighty. They're profound realities that are associated with the coming of the Lord. There's a blessing that's pronounced upon those who would keep their crowns. You see, this is something you can't be haphazard about things that are associated with the coming of the Lord. We can't be casual about this. A blessing is pronounced upon those who keep their garments clean in anticipation of his return. Not just because you should be clean, but because he's coming again. And his reward will be brought with him. And when he comes, he will give it to everyone with strict accordance with what he has done, with his works. We will be recorded. It's hard to think about anything that's more weighty or more relevant or more needful to hear for the saints and for all humanity than the coming of the Lord. What else is there to even establish and settle you than the fact that the Lord is coming again, and all of those realities that are associated with it? So this is why we chose this particular topic, because of its relevance.
Amen.
So you want to talk about something that's relevant to the people of God? Let's talk about the coming of the Lord. People want to find an application within the scripture. Well, here's the application. The Lord's coming again. Make yourself ready. See, and I say these things, and I don't hesitate to say them to you, brethren, because I know the way that you will See, you don't. I'm not trying to beat you down with, well, you ought to really be ready. Well, the fact of the matter is that we live in an environment with competing influences. There's things all around us that will shake this reality. And you have to be on guard to throw those things off and hold forth to the truth, that no one take your crown. Because there are all kinds of things that would take your crown. So we have to be aware. The coming of the Lord is mentioned frequently, not only in the Revelation book, but all throughout the apostles' doctrine. I could find significant teaching on the return of the Lord from 1 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude. So what is there? So do you see like a common theme that's threaded throughout here? That the Lord is coming again. He said, I come quickly. The coming of the Lord is a prominent teaching in the Word of God. And it's a reality that's within man. That the Lord is coming again. That God is going to be with man. And that men need to be with God. There's a longing for, you see it in the world, brethren. People longing for God. To be with God. That's what people want. That's what they're searching for. That's what the point of all religion leads up to, being with God. So we have good news. We have the only good news is that the Christ is coming again, and God will be with us and we will be with God. The coming of the Lord is somewhat of a North Star. It's a reference point for all spiritual travel.
Amen.
See, for these sailors that are in the world, these pilgrims, they use the coming of the Lord. They set their all their reference points for all travel, all life is set off of this point, this truth, this reality. Amen. That the Lord is coming again.
Amen.
Four times in this book, Jesus said he's coming quickly. So not only does it mean soon, but maybe even more so, it means without delay. Like he will not hesitate. So when it's time to come, he's coming.
Amen.
He's not going to wait around. As soon as the work's completed in the earth, he'll cut it short in righteousness. There's not going to be a second that's going to be spared. See, there's too many good things in the world to come to piddle around in the earth doing nothing. See, as soon as the work's done, now we get on to a greater work. So the reality is that some people will be surprised, because Jesus' coming will be without any hesitation. He's not going to send a memo or an email blast and say, by the way, here I come. He's coming as a thief. Mm-hmm. In an hour maybe that you might not expect. So brethren, watch and be sober. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, therefore ye also be ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you do not expect. That's a word that the church needs to hear. There are false prophets that are tickling the ears of those who are in these church buildings. And the people of God and mankind needs to know that the Lord is coming. And he's coming in an hour that you do not expect. You don't have a lot of time to waste, brethren. You've got to redeem the time. Which is, it's a fearful thing, because if you do attend some type of, you know, particularly I think maybe in our society, you attend a church service and it's much about entertainment or something else other than the Lord coming back. But this is central, brethren. This is the main thing, is that the Lord's coming again. So that's good news, right? That's good news for us, because when he comes, he's coming with his reward.
Amen.
His reward is with him. So I want to talk about that. I want to first, you know, give you the reminder and the warning that we must be alert, we must be sober, we must be ready, we must be watching. That's what Jesus said. What I say to all, watch. Look out. Keep your eyes on the prize, so to speak. Our Lord comes quickly. Now, I want to talk about the fact that when Jesus comes, he's coming with a reward. How does God get his desired results from the saints? How is it that God creates these vessels of honor? How is it that God transforms people who are not like him to being like him? How is it that faith is able to flourish in an environment that's contrary to it? How is this? How is it that God is able to have people that are willing in the day of his power? What is it? How does he motivate his people? Well, in the beginning, God commanded light to shine. And what happened? The light shone out of darkness. Because the creature is obligated to its creator. That's a reality. That's a fact. That if you're created, you are obligated to do the will of your creator. Men are obligated to obey the commandments of God. Because he is God and they are not. Bottom line, you really don't have to go any further than God created you, so do it. See, that could be the only motivation that God really, he could have just said, well, I said it, so do it. Everything that has been created is obligated to its creator. That means people, men and women, do not have a right to live like they want to live. They are obligated to the Creator. Amen. This obligation to serve God is woven within the fabric of the human experience and demonstrated by those who are living under the law, and even more so by those who live by faith without the dispensation of the law. Prior to the law, you see that people that because you think about commandments, you think about Moses standing on the mount and receiving the commandments and ordinances of God and delivering them to the people, and now man is now obligated to serve God. Well, you have examples prior to Moses, right? You all know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm giving you this reminder that man, it's within man that they're obligated to serve God because you have Abel, who offered sacrifice. What I don't remember reading a commandment that Abel was commanded to offer an offering. You have Job who was offering sacrifice. It's woven within man that he's obligated to God. That he's obligated to serve God and to please God and to obey God.
Amen.
See, Abel, Job, Noah, Abraham offered sacrifice without express commandment to do so because the creature is obligated to serve the Creator. There's something, and maybe I'm not using the right word because this is kind of, you know, that's not expressly written. We don't have a thus saith the Lord, you know. But we do have a lot of thus saith the Lord's, and men are obligated to fulfill those, right? Serving God out of obligation is not a bad thing, and I don't want to diminish that because it's certainly better than not serving God at all, right? We would want to have men start out with, if you feel obligated to serve God, I'm not going to stand in your way and say that you shouldn't. You should. Men ought to serve God.
Amen.
But the Lord has a better way.
Amen.
Right? He has a better way than mere obligation or imposing commandments.
Amen.
Right? That's what we're thinking about now is this reward. See, not that the reward is contrary to obligation, but it actually draws you along further. Promise will take you further than obligation. Faith will bring you further than obeying commandments, right?
Amen.
See, you'll do when you believe. But you'll do more than if you were just acting out of mere obligation, right? You can all see where that is, right? See, what I'm saying is that it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace.
Amen.
And not with meats. See, God is a promising God. He is a promise maker and a promise keeper. He is faithful. That's how he is. That's how he acts and operates. He is a giving God. He promised to Abraham a land and a son, and that God would be his protection and his guide. He promised the nation of Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. He wasn't God. See this, and this was kind of he places incentives before you, if you will. And in Christ, of course, we're promised some things too, aren't we? We've received the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have received the forgiveness of all of our sins. Amen. We've received a cleansed conscience. Amen. We've received this true bread from heaven. Amen. These are all things that have been given. These are things that are realized not by obligation, not by obligatory service to God, but by faith. We've received a new man, a new heart, a new spirit, a newness of life. We have received the Son. Right? He that hath the Son, that means you've received him. You have received the Son. And if you've received the Son, you have life. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, we have received much, and we have much up ahead. The reward is up ahead. We've received these first fruits now, and we confess that they are good. And we'll continue to pilgrim through this life until we receive the fullness of our reward. See, if you're looking for a full reward now, you'll receive eternal damnation then. If you want to be ultimately satisfied here, you'll be banished from the presence of the Lord forever. So I'm waiting. We're waiting and we're watching. Because when he comes, his reward is with him. See, the Lord is good, and he knows that it's better for men, and this effectual change that happens in them is stirred up by promise and by the promise of a reward that's up ahead. We know that the one who comes to God in faith, they must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want to say a word about that, because God has to be approached in this way. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But it's not as though you can command someone to believe in this way. They have to be able to see that God is a rewarder. Amen. Right? This is more than just you imposing upon someone how they believe. God's not trying to impose upon you how you believe. You see, if you see that God is a rewarder, then you'll be able to come to him. You see what I'm saying? See, you don't have enough strength within yourself to get to God unless you believe that he is a rewarder of them. See, and then he'll come alongside of you and strengthen you. So now I want to say that what we are receiving is actually his reward. It says that his reward is with him. It's Christ's reward. It's not different from what the Father gives, but it's what the Father gives through Christ. It's Jesus who purchased the church with his own blood. So Christ's words now, see, these are things that appeal to the new man, to faith. This reward appeals to the believing soul. The world is not interested in Christ's reward. The flesh is not interested in Christ's reward. The flesh wants satisfaction now, not willing to wait. Faith says, we'll wait for that better thing. We're looking for that better country. This is why it's so necessary that we must remind one another of this reward and of Christ's return, because we all need an incentive to run the race that's set before us as we look to Jesus.
Amen.
So it's not wrong for us to seek or anticipate a reward from Jesus. You cannot serve God effectually out of mere duty and obligation. This is much more having to do with a bit in a bridle type of religion than being led with the eye of the Lord. The eye of the Lord, see, you'll be able to, he's kind of looking towards his reward too, because he'll be exceedingly joyful when we're all together. He's blessed now, don't get me wrong, but I think we've got a lot more to see of the Lord. Well, I want to think about his reward, and I want to think about how this is kind of said. It's compared a little bit. There's a little bit of maybe some language, at least for me, that I had to kind of reason upon, because it says that his reward is with him.
Amen.
And he'll give everyone according to his works. So he doesn't say, now your reward is with him, and he'll give everyone according to his works. So let's think about this. Let's kind of work these things over, and I'm hoping that maybe you can work some things out for me too. A reward, first of all, it's a gift that's given in recognition of an achievement. You don't just get a reward just because. There has to be something that's done. A reward is given when something is accomplished. Rewards are not given to those who are undeserving. That's the nature of a reward, is that it's earned. It's deserved. A reward is deserved. It's right to get a, it's when you receive a reward, it's right. So the text before us declares that we are receiving Christ's reward when he comes again a second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus said very clearly, my reward is with me. My reward. So one, I thought for a second, well, maybe there's some type of grammatical error, and maybe the King James Version just kind of maybe got it wrong. Maybe the translators mixed up their pronouns a little bit, and because the phrase that immediately follows that statement has to do with human responsibility. We gotta know, brethren, that our work is involved. You don't just get to coast to glory. There is work involved. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he meant to say, my reward is with him. Jesus coming to give me what's mine, if he's talking about my works, right? So I went and I looked at all the translations, and lo and behold, every one of them that I could find said this, the same way. My reward is with me. I mean, if you have another Bible, you can look. I think you should look at that. See what it says. It says, my reward is with me. So Jesus wasn't wrong, and the translators didn't miss it. This is a reality. That means that Jesus is the one who earned the reward.
Amen.
It's his reward.
Amen.
Jesus is the one who earned the reward that we will receive when he comes again. He's going to give everyone of his reward. Every single translation expresses that thought. Praise God. Praise God. This means that, you know, we it's clear, brethren, that it's Christ who has done the work, has been rewarded, and will share in that victory. It's because Jesus humbled himself. It's because Jesus lived in service, unwavering service to God. It's because he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. It's because he loved the Father, and the Father loved him. It's because he laid down his life. It's because he took it up again. It's because he destroyed death and the devil and sin. It's because he was exalted and given a name which is above every name, that we have a reward, brethren. Amen. That is the only reason we have anything to look forward to. Amen. But, brethren, we have it all to look forward to. God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Praise God. I'll be kneeling and confessing. This is good. See, we are actually benefactors of Christ's work. He says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even also as I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. See, we're benefactors of Christ's work. See, but the text also says that he will give according to his work. But as I've said before, what we are given is of Christ's reward. And if you're saying, I don't feel like I've earned a reward so great as what Christ is offering, I would say that you're correct. You have not earned a reward so great as what Christ is offering. I would say that what we have earned is far worse than anything that Christ has given us, brethren. But God is compassionate and gracious and full of loving kindness and truth. That's who he is, brethren. That is the God that we come to. That's the God we're looking for. And the reality is that the Father loves the Son, and he's committed all things to his hand. And Jesus will freely give to those who come to him. Brethren, that's salvation. Is that you are not getting what you earned. So where does this work come in? Well, the work is one of faith. It's the work of faith that each one of us have to kind of work out. We're kind of entering into this work by faith. But we're not entering in to receive of our own reward. We're receiving of the spoils of Christ's victory.
Amen.
See, it's the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saint. See, we give thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint and light. So here's kind of the reality, brethren, is what we're receiving from God and from Christ, this reward given to us according to our works, is not what the world would call fair. The world people like to talk about, well, that's not fair. That's just not fair. I know a couple kids that sometimes say that in my house. But the reality is that it's not fair. You don't want what's fair, so to speak. But it is just.
Amen.
You don't want what's fair, but it is just. Here's the reality, is that God is rich in mercy.
Amen.
And that Christ loves the brethren. And that the brethren who believe on Christ will be rewarded greatly in the end. We know that God has done this kind of exchange program where you kind of bring, you know, you believe, and it's that faith is credited to you for righteousness. See, it's actually imputed to your account. The prophet said that in this day of the Lord, in the acceptable year of the Lord, that if you have ashes, you can bring them to the Lord, and he'll actually give you beauty. This is a good exchange rate, brethren. if you have mourning, you can bring it to the Lord and you'll receive the oil of joy. If you have the spirit of heaviness, brethren, you can bring it to the Lord and you'll receive the garment of praise. Brethren, you can bring your filthy rags and we'll have wedding garments that we can wear to this joyous ceremony when we are married to the Lamb. Well, brethren, the reward is up ahead. And when he comes, his reward is with him. So what is this reward? This reward is freedom, freedom from sin. It's deliverance from death, it's deliverance from the old man. It's not having to fight this good fight of faith anymore. There's a time where our fighting will be obsolete. It's being delivered from these competing influences so that when you will to do good, that's the only thing you got to worry about. There is no evil present with you. It's only having the will to do good. There will be no more need to have your conscience cleansed. This is a reward to not have the need to have an advocate with the Father anymore. See, you won't need to confess your sins because you'll be delivered from them. There will be no more trials, no more temptations, no more trouble. The Lord has promised no more sighing, neither suffering, nor sorrow, nor pain, for the former things have passed away.
Amen.
As it is with God, however, deliverance is in order that. You're delivered in order that you could experience something better. We're not just looking to flee from one thing, we're running to this reward. So part of this reward, maybe even the majority of the reward, is what's ushered in after the former things pass away. It's the fullness of these first fruits which we've partaken of. The purpose of these deliverances is to remove distraction in order that we may fully experience and understand and see and partake of God himself. That's what we're looking for. The reward is God himself. It's not just the best version of what you want to do. Maybe it is the best version of what you want to do, brethren, but it's not if you like fishing a lot, you're just going to go up into heaven and you're going to catch all these fish. It'll be great. Well, I like to fish, but that kind of might get old, you know. But see, the Lord has better things, a more enduring substance. The purpose of our deliverance is to more fully experience and partake of and enjoy being with our God and God being with us. It's a dwelling, brethren. We are being inhabited by God and Christ and the Spirit. Of course, we realize that by faith now. We'll realize it by experience then. See, as soon as death is brought away and the Lord comes quickly and his reward is with him to give every man according to his works, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city.
Amen.
That's where we're headed, brethren, to that heavenly country. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts and appreciate your attention.
Brother Al.
Yes, really provoked a lot of thought, my brother Eric. This thought, I come quickly, can be viewed in a couple different ways. You know, he said that at the beginning of this age, you know, and it's been 2,000 and some years now, you know, and I suppose that would be a valid way to look at it. I mean, this matter of, you could come at any time, and that is a valid way to look at it. Another way to look at it is when he comes, there's not, see, when the You know, in Revelation 14 there, when the Father says to the, go.
Yeah.
No. See, there's not going to be any time for preparation. Once that, see, it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to be
here. Amen.
He's going to be here when that comes. See, so in as we consider this, we it's in the knowledge that there's not going to be any time for preparation.
Mm-hmm.
To come, so we're preparing ourselves
now. Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, and of course the faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we actually do have this connection with the living Christ. See, so where it's not like we're removed from Him totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now in this matter of incentive and obligation, I really appreciated what you said about that, and let's work that over a little.
Yeah, bit. So, I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Now flesh and blood can respond to earthly incentive, but not to heavenly incentive.
Mm-hmm.
But the new man can responds to heavenly incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with regard to obligation, see, now we're not totally done with obligation but now obligation is self-imposed. It's imposed upon our flesh. We keep under our body.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, the obligation isn't on our new man. The obligation now is imposed by us on the old man. We keep it under. Have put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So that, you know, but now the obligation is we impose. We impose the obligation on our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the new man, see, we operate by incentive. See, and that's the overriding thing is the incentive that's imposed on the new man, and
amen.
And the under part is the obligation that we impose on the old man.
Amen.
There's some complexity there in that God does command all men everywhere to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can either receive Christ and be set free by the Son, or we can be obligated. There's no other option.
Yep.
Because all men are going to answer to God. And that bowing of the knee and the confession of the mouth, while that'll be glory for us, they'll be those that are outside, they'll be forced to do it.
Yeah.
That'll be the ultimate obligation.
Yep.
There won't be a choice. It'll be forced on them just by the very presence of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brother Dan.
When you were talking about the matter of the obligation versus the living by faith, which is a much higher and wider expression, I thought of the parable where, I believe we call it a parable, where Jesus said, you know, after you've worked all day in the fields, and you come in, you're going to thank the master, and then you say, we are unprofitable servants, we've only done
what was required.
Now, Jesus said that, so it has great bearing, but these are in the days of his flesh when he said it, and he's dealing with disciples that are not able to see as far as they later would see. He said that himself. So it's like a transitional period.
Mm-hmm.
They would ask him questions like, well, shall I forgive my brother 7 times? And he'd say no. He would like just expand it.
70 and times seven.
It's mm-hmm. kind of like one of those moments where he's like, he's challenging them is what he's doing. Because if we hold ourselves to that standard, see, we can't go as far as what he said.
Yeah.
Revelation, when he said this, I'm not making a point, but this is red letter. This is Jesus saying the same thing. Or he's speaking also, but he's actually, men have come a lot farther in their understanding, so they're able to escape this obligatory attitude,
mm-hmm.
and now they're able to get into this realm of faith.
Amen.
And then there was another parable, too, where they all got paid the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a sense in a lesson of, like, over time, where it goes later in time, but there's also this thing where they gripe and they complain, because they didn't understand him. So when you read this text you have in Revelation, and he rewards them according to their work, that has something to do with how we perceive God himself. Your work is going to be commensurate with how you understand God to be.
Yeah.
In other words, you're self-limiting, because he's able to give you more than you're able to handle, but the more you're able to receive and the more you grow, the more
the more you can hit.
So we want to
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. Sister Barr.
I'm thankful for the connection that you made between the coming of the Lord as a kind of North Star.
Yes, mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what I felt like several times whenever I consider the coming of the Lord and and this weekend is one of those times that helps me to gain my bearings again and then chart my course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Heavenly navigation as opposed to
selection. Mm-hmm.
How you brought up that this is Christ's reward, something that he purchased himself, and the thought came to me that if Christ purchased it, then it's complete, and it's perfectly fitting to mm-hmm. how he is going to dispense it to each one of his
Amen.
Sheep.
Brother Nathan, and then Brother Al.
I was struck with this thought of how utterly unworthy I am. And, you know, about imputed righteousness, about thank God that Christ's righteousness, thanks to faith, thanks that he would rescue.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I never really view it as obligation anymore or commandment. He says, I'll write my commands in your heart, but that's him. I like how Paul puts it, nothing good in my flesh dwells.
Yeah.
But it's Christ and the goodness, the love that is a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, the joy, the desire to serve him, where, you know, previous to him, I have nothing. And even now, it's like on my computer, when I consider all he's done for me, I realize how little I've done for him. You know, I never could really, when I view the reward, I already think I've been given too much.
Yes.
I was there at the beginning, especially, but he's still especially here now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the more knowledge, the more you grow, a stumble is not a stumble anymore. That's a cliff dot.
Yeah.
Because you know better. And mm-hmm. so you sit there and you're, you know, the thought of reward. I don't know, I never really knew how, why, me. You know?
Amen.
It's Tish. Amen.
Amen.
See, this, the littleness that I experience shows me the goodness of our God. See, that's the, because if he's done this for me, brethren, out of all the people on the earth, well, this is a compassionate and gracious and God that's full of loving kindness. Oh, sorry, Brother Al.
I have some similar thoughts as Brother Nathan back there. You know, I was thinking about your message, I just kind of did a quick survey of my own life, and it just seemed like I really haven't done very much. You know, I just but the Lord, remember He said in the parable of the pounds and the talents, He says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things; I will make thee ruler over many things." And I, you know, I've been tempted in the past to aspire for, you know, largeness and greatness and things like that. And it seems like we're just a handful of people, and it seems like, you know, can the Lord do anything with this? Well, certainly He can. But you know what He impressed upon me was this matter in many of the parables. What Jesus emphasized was faithfulness. Faithfulness to what He's given you to. And He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things.
Amen.
There's just, it's like, it's not really, there's nothing, no way to compare, you know, what seems like with the pounds for city,
yeah,
a few things for
yeah.
many things, you know, it just
yeah.
it seems like there's no comparison there. But I think it's connected with, like, you know, He was, like you were saying there, with, you know, He's like, He ascended up on high and He gave gifts unto men, so
yeah.
but it's His reward.
Yeah,
but it's going to filter down and become our reward.
Amen.
You know, according to every man, as his work shall be.
Amen. Brother Ricky.
Yeah, that's been something that believers have had difficulty understanding, is how a person can be justified by faith through grace and it's not of themselves, and yet Jesus here in the red print says to give every man according as his work shall be.
Amen.
And if you want to underline it a little more, verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right.
Yeah, to the tree of life.
The tree of life. And so, mm-hmm. you don't want to gloss those words over.
No.
Mm-mm, no.
We want to kind of understand them And I'm not here to give a complete understanding of the balance between those two considerations. I know they're not contrary,
mm-hmm.
because the Spirit of God moved both of those expressions. So I know it's not contrary. But now think of this. You have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Mm-hmm.
And the good works that flow out of you are the works that He works in you. Now,
amen.
You know what a wonderful God we have. He works the works in you and through you, and then rewards you
yes.
for carrying those things out.
Amen.
Amen.
See, that's not something that produces pride.
No.
It produces actually great humility. Think of the idea of Him crowning you
mm-hmm.
because you've been faithful to Him, and yet what happens? The saints throw their crowns back at Him.
Yes.
Because they realize
amen.
That if there's anything good that has been produced in them, it has been the result of what He has done.
Mm-hmm.
But now when we talk about being unworthy and all these things, just remember this. The salvation of God is an effective work
yes.
in men. It effectively enables men to walk godly in this life right now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Believers are not just a bunch of failures, brother.
No.
Salvation causes us to be faithful to God.
Yes.
Amen. See, without making us prideful.
Amen.
We're trusting in Him, and He's working the works in us. But I just think this is one thing that shows us how good God is that He would work these works in us. And brethren, I assure you that you've probably done a whole lot more good work than you think you've done. Just doing something with a motive and desire to please God is a good thing. Giving a man a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord is a good work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you probably underestimated how many marvelous and good things you've done. And this isn't a line of pride. I'm just telling you, this is what God works in us.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. But that He would reward us for what He works in us, and we're involved in the process, that just shows how good and kind He is to us. And so we just don't want to gloss those realities over, because this is what Jesus said.
Amen.
According to what His work shall be, and we want to understand that, because these are the words of Jesus.
Very good.
Amen. I just want to follow through. Some of those initial feelings and understandings of worthlessness and that, they actually can take character and get color over time as you see how God has worked in you. The psalmist asked, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" It was just kind of left there. You know, it was like a looking around wondering, but then Paul answered it in the context of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. So
that's how we take any comfort in any worth of that He has imputed to us.
Sister Mary?
That's the fiber that's woven into us. We're gone from obligation of the commandments to servitude and our promise and our faith that's built up in Christ Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fiber He's given.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother. Anything else?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Yes, amen.
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 Mm-hmm.